Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. It was a rubbish Easter for me. I missed everything that went on here. Thank you to those who stepped in and helped at short notice. It was very useful. My voice came back about... This is back. My voice came back about 3 days ago. And it's a bit wavery on occasion. We're at Word Alive, this great gathering of Christians in North Wales. For most of last week, and it's just so frustrating to not be able to be in a tent with thousands of people worshipping, and you're kind of miming along as quietly as you can because you can't belt it out, which was good news for everybody else, but a bit frustrating for me. Anyway, would you turn in your Bibles, on your devices, wherever, to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. If anybody needs a Bible... There are a bunch at the back. Thanks, Richard. That's brilliant. Do you want to stick your hand up if you need a Bible? Excellent. Do feel free when you come in to just grab one of those. There's no law against it. It's always good to have something good to read while I'm talking. Okay. We're in Galatians 5. We're going to start reading at verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Please do keep those in front of you. I don't know about you, but I can read that list of the acts of the flesh and get quite easily discouraged. I look at the fruit of the Spirit, and again, I'm a bit discouraged because these are the fruit that should be identified in my life as a Christian. When I became a Christian, God put his Holy Spirit into me to make me more like Jesus. So why, 30 years later, do I look like this? Why so little progress? Why does it sometimes feel like I'm going backwards rather than forwards in the Christian life? Don't like thinking about that, so let's think about breakfast instead. I love it when you go away. This didn't happen this week, by the way, because we were self-catering in a caravan. But I love it when you go away and you can get an all-you-eat breakfast at a hotel. Look at that. Don't you love that? Who doesn't love that? faced with a menu of choices. You've got cereals, you've got toast, you've got marmalade, you've got pastries, croissants, you've got eggs which might be boiled or scrambled or fried or whatever. You've got bacon, you've got sausage, you might have black pudding, you might have hash browns, you might have fried bread, you might have beans, you might have mushrooms, tomatoes, avocado, if you're that way inclined, smoked salmon, yogurt. Oh yeah, I've been to some posh places. Yogurt, fruit. Did I forget anything? Haggis. Cast him out. Cast the chips. We did have chips with an Irish breakfast once in Belgium. Yes. I'm not on pan au chocolat. Yeah, pastries, absolutely. I hope you had breakfast this morning because I'm getting hungry just reading that list again. And you're faced with that choice, aren't you? What do I choose? And also, how much do I choose? Well, of course, we make very wise decisions in those circumstances. We eat fruit and yogurt and maybe a little bit of granola on top because, after all, we are on holiday. Good news this morning, everybody. A blowout breakfast every now and again is not a sin. I need an amen to that. Come on, Gregory. But why, looking at this reading from Galatians 5, do I still choose from the wrong menu? We've got these two menus. One is called the acts of the flesh. Why do I fall for the stuff on the prohibited list from verses 19 to 21? Rather than choose the things that should mark me out on the second menu there, from verses 22 to 23. Well, the Bible tells me the answer to this. The problem is that we misunderstand freedom. The Soup Dragons, for those of us who are of that particular era, sang about this in the 90s. I'm told the Rolling Stones did it earlier, but I'm way too young to remember that. They sang, "I'm free to do what I want any old time." And my gift to you is for you to have that going around your head if you know that song for the rest of the day. And that sums up, doesn't it, what we think about as freedom. Freedom is nobody tells me what to do. Freedom is I can do what I want. And how dare you judge me for my choices? And the trouble is, of course, that we so often end up hurting other people and ourselves if that's how we exercise our freedom, if it's all about us and what we feel like doing. It doesn't deliver what we think it's going to. So as somebody's put it, freedom, as popularly expressed, sounds like prohibition but ends up in slavery. It seems that that kind of freedom offers us a release and the freedom to be who we think we deserve to be, but it ends up with us being enslaved. So as we look at those competing menus, we see that ugly list this morning. And actually, we don't really want to read it, do we? We don't want to dwell on it because it makes for uncomfortable reading. It's not exhaustive, but it covers a lot of stuff, doesn't it? It tells us it's not exhaustive at the end of verse 21 when it says, and the like. These are examples of the acts of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. It's a list of behaviours and habits that are destructive to us if we're trying to live to please Christ. If we keep choosing from that menu, the next thing we know, we have new destructive habits. We end up doing things, perhaps on a regular basis, that we know we shouldn't be doing and we don't really want to be doing, but we're drawn to them. And some of these might sound really extreme to you. They might not. These might be things that you've experienced firsthand. So sexual immorality, drunkenness, witchcraft may seem extreme to you. I don't know. I've certainly known people in the church who have struggled with those things and perhaps worse things. And I know plenty of people who struggle with discord, dissensions and factions, whether that's in a church, whether it's in a workplace, whether it's in a sports team. I've been in a committee meeting for a cricket club where two people had to be pulled apart because they're arguing about something that is so important that I don't even remember what it was now. And it's common, isn't it, to be jealous or envious as we compare ourselves and our lives with the people around us. We look at their Facebook selfies and think, if only I could pout like that in front of some famous monument in the sunshine. And it's common to be idolatrous. It is simply placing other things or people before God. We think of idols maybe bowing down to bits of wood or stone, but actually maybe we worship bits of metal. Whether it's cars or gold or computers or games consoles or bitcoins or whatever it might be. Or we might be devoted to family or to a football team in a way that places those things as more important than God in terms of all the things that we spend our time and our money doing each month. And so we don't like to read this list, do we, on that first menu? Because there are things that slide out to us and think, yeah, actually, that's something that's a struggle for me. And actually, I might be letting myself off the hook when I say it's a struggle for me. Maybe I've stopped struggling. Maybe I've just accepted this is who I am. This is what I'm like. It's a part of what I do. And the reason that you and I don't make much progress, or as much progress as we should in following Christ, is that we do misunderstand freedom. Freedom is not to do as we please. Instead, we read here in verse 13, we are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, verse 13. We've been told already, or they've been told already in this chapter, in the first verse, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. But don't misunderstand that freedom. It's not freedom to do as we please, to indulge the flesh. Christian freedom looks very, very different. Christian freedom is to serve one another humbly in love, it tells us there in verse 13. Does that sound weird to you? That you're now free to serve others? It probably does, and it probably strikes us as being a little bit odd because we want to be self-serving. We don't want to be other people serving, do we? We want to please ourselves, not others. Yet the Bible tells us that the way to exercise our freedom is to love it, is to lovingly and humbly serve others. Love your neighbour as yourself, as it's summed up by Jesus and by Paul here in verse 14. And this is written against the background where Paul really fears what's happening to the Galatian church. That it'll end up self-destructing. He tells them, look, you're biting and devouring each other. Watch out, you'll end up destroying each other, he says in verse 15. So this ugly list that we've got here in these verses 19 to 21, he's saying act like this and you'll destroy each other. Act with sexual immorality, you'll end up destroying each other. With impurity and debauchery, it's going to destroy each other. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. You will destroy your church and any sense of community that you have got together if that is going on. Any chance of being united and pulling in the same direction, you just won't have it. But choose from the other menu. Choose to serve one another, though, and display increasing amounts of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your day-to-day living. If you're exercising love and joy and peace or patience or forbearance, depending on your translation, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, these are good fruit. These will help you pull together, to bind together, and you'll be a stronger and closer and more beautiful and more wonderful community. These are good fruits. These are gorgeous fruits. If faced with this menu choice, we decide, I'm going to choose faithfulness rather than sexual immorality. That is going to strengthen a marriage rather than threaten it. If we choose self-control over drunkenness, or love over hatred, or we decide we're going to go to be kind rather than a fit of rage, peace over envy, any of the fruit of the Spirit rather than the acts of the flesh, anything on that menu rather than that one, depending on which way around you're looking at them, means we're going to be building up rather than tearing down. All the fruit of the Spirit builds people up and unites them. All the acts of the flesh just screws everything up. So if we live by the Spirit in verse 16, we will be functional rather than dysfunctional. A good place to be, a good church to come to, rather than one that you half dread attending. A great place to go and work in your workplace tomorrow morning, for those that are in work, rather than a place you think, oh, crumbs, it's Monday and I've got to face so-and-so again. Can you begin to see why the Bible calls being good to one another, to be humbly and lovingly serving others, why it calls that freedom? It's a beautiful vision, isn't it? It's a coherent vision for building our communities and building ourselves and each other up. So much better than being enslaved to sin and the destruction that those things bring about amongst us. So these are great fruits here in verses 22 and 23. This is a healthy way to live. So the scriptures tell us in verse 25, live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. That sense of choosing to walk every day in step with the Spirit. To daily choose to grow and display the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So today we choose to be people who are loving and gentle and faithful and all those things on that good menu. And he warns them in verse 26 as he continues, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is clearly a real danger for the church, for the Galatian church. Paul doesn't just warn them about this, I don't think, for nothing. And I'm not aware of this being a particularly live issue for us here in this church in Gloucester. But we'd be fools to ignore this, wouldn't we? Because it could so easily end up with factions and discord and all the horrible stuff that we've been reading about. As we work together in teams, we are called to walk in step with the Spirit, choosing to serve one another rather than push ourselves to the front. Choosing to be gentle in a church meeting, to be forbearing, to be patient with that person who, if you let them, they would drive you mad. And you will have people like this in this church, each one of you. And if it's me, thank you for being patient. Thank you for being forbearing. We choose to be kind to someone who we know is really going through it at the moment. So never let us forget that this is written first and foremost to a church. And yet, it's applicable to all of life, isn't it? So how we use our freedom to lovingly and serve, humbly serve our neighbours, or our work colleagues, or fellow students, or our customers, wherever our front line is, wherever it is that we're with people who don't yet know Christ. Well, let's just finish by looking at that list on the good menu and just asking ourselves quietly before the Lord some questions. As we look at that list of people that we're looking to be with, whether it's when we go home or whether we're in the workplace or when we're seeing our neighbours, how might we express love to them? It might be a card, it might be a gift, it might be a practical help with the situation that they're facing. How might we choose to demonstrate joy, to encourage joy in our team, maybe in the middle of a tough or a boring task? How might we promote peace in a stressful situation where people are getting anxious and a bit angsty, where people are panicking and perhaps not reacting well? Who do you need to forbear with? Who do you need to practice patience with on your front line? Who do you need to be gracious when you're dealing with them? Do you need to cast aside selfish ambition in the workplace and maybe praise a colleague for something that they've done? How can we express kindness to someone? Do we need to go easy on someone who's made a mistake or let themselves down in a situation? What would goodness look like on your front line? Do you need to stand up for something that you know is right, even though it might be counter to the culture of your front line? Do you need to speak out for the good? Do we need to express faithfulness in the way that we work or the way that we support someone? Will we finish what we've started? Will we do what we've promised to do? What difference would it make to be gentle in your situation? By the way, this is one of those fruit of the Spirit that is really countercultural in Paul's time. Gentleness was seen as a character flaw, as a weakness to the people that he's writing to. And maybe that's the situation in your family or on your front line as well. Maybe in your workplace, to be gentle is to be seen to be wimpy and pathetic. Sometimes the fruit of the Spirit are countercultural. Maybe, even in those situations, you need to learn to be more gentle in your speech. And where do we need to exhibit self-control? Are there habits or patterns of behaviour that we need to break? Things that we need to start saying no to? Let us daily walk in step with the Spirit. Daily choose to do what is right. Imagine the difference that that would make to our church life, to our front lines, if we showed more of the fruit of the Spirit. Imagine the difference it would make simply if we looked more like Jesus. Make a big difference, wouldn't it? Our neighbourhoods would be better. Our workplaces would be happier. Our family lives would be more satisfying. Our sports teams would be harmonious. We wouldn't just be called united. We might actually be united. And church would be more and more attractive. And it is a tremendous witness to the rest of the world. Bill Clinton, talking about Mother Teresa, commented, "It's tough to argue with someone who has lived so well." And you know, we're reminded in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, to live such good lives among the pagans, those people who don't follow Christ, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Fruitfulness on the front line calls this modelling godly character, and we'll look more at it this evening. But this morning, let's pledge to carry on day by day walking in step with the Spirit. John Stott prayed these verses from the Good Menu that they would be applied to his life every day, every morning. He prayed, "Let me be loving, let me be faithful, let me be gentle, let me be self-controlled." All those things. That'd be a good practice for us to take on, wouldn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you as people who often make lousy choices. We know that we are sinners. And we thank you for your mercy, that you don't give up on us. Thank you for the gift that you give us of the Holy Spirit when we have chosen to follow you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to keep in step with your Spirit, that we would walk closer with you, that you would give us the growth that we need in our lives to be more like Jesus, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Prune us where we need to be cut back, we pray. Break in us those habits that hold us back. and help us to choose well each day. Help us make a positive difference where we are, for your kingdom and for your glory, we pray. Amen.